witnesses and ministers of the word. And there came a wide gap between the houses where maybe a house had previously stood. And then he could see the black velvet sky right behind that scene with a house here, and then right up in the stars, right in the middle was a large star. And he made this suggestion to his daddy. He said, "Look, Daddy, God must have given his son. He has a star in his window as well." And of course, Jesus came and he did give his son for us. Luke chapter 1, we're going to be reading through quite a few verses here this morning. By the way, this is Natalie's birthday today, and so you can say happy birthday to her. 27, I don't know how she keeps being 27 every year, but she does that. She reminded me it's not 27, it's actually 23, so anyway, we have a good time, so you can greet her about that later. We'll be reading several verses here throughout this and really tell the story leading up to the story of the birth of Christ. In early America, did you know this? In early America, at one time, it was against the law to celebrate Christmas. This is what had happened. People would celebrate in such a way that the Puritans, they banned Christmas. It wasn't because they thought maybe it was the incorrect day, or that it may have been connected the date, the 25th, to a pagan holiday. Some people talk about stuff like that. It was nothing to do with any of those things. They outlawed Christmas to rid the celebration of the customs that had really taken the meaning out of Christmas. Over in Europe, about this, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, we don't know who Theophilus is. He describes him as most excellent, so perhaps a political figure, maybe someone of high esteem or rank, and so he's writing to him. Not much else is known about him, but he wants to set in order the account of Christ in order, chronological order, so that's what he's giving us. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So here's the beginning of the story. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, her name was Elizabeth. So the priests, they would always marry other priestly lineage people, and also of the course of Abiah. At one point in Israel, they had 24 courses, and they would take turns going in to conduct the service of the temple, or of the tabernacle. And so he was one of those 24 courses. And verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. So no children, and up in age. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, so when he was taking his turn to go into the temple, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now, that's interesting because a lot of times families would name their children, especially their boy sons, after someone who had previously a similar name or the same name. John was not found in their lineage. And so later on, if you look at the rest of the chapter, you'll see there was some hesitation to naming him John. But ultimately, that's who this young child will be named. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years. He's doubting. He wants a sign. He's doubting. Can this happen? I mean, we're both beyond childbearing years. And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. What's he doing in there? And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. We'll pick up there in just a moment. An angel, Gabriel, shows up inside the temple, and he makes this promise. This word of God comes that Elizabeth then will have a child. Now the scene shifts from Jerusalem to a little town in Galilee. Now the priests, they lived just outside the walls at Jerusalem. So when he went to his own house, it's probably in what would be called a suburb, if you would, of Jerusalem, just outside of there. And he would go in and out. So he goes home. Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And then the scene shifts here. About a 2-day walk away, if you were walking. Today, it's a 2-hour drive from Nazareth to Jerusalem. But back then, if you were walking 12 hours a day, you could just about make it. We're going 2 days. So it's about a 24-hour walk if you walk at just a 3-mile-an-hour pace or so. Now, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant when Mary shows up. And when the angel appears to Mary, she's 6 months pregnant. Gabriel, his name means man of God. And he stands in the throne room of God. He's the messenger angel that gives special announcements throughout Scripture. Now, he and the archangel Michael are the only angels that we have their names for. Other than Lucifer, who's a fallen angel, we have the two names for Michael and Gabriel. Now, let's keep reading Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary, in contrast to Zacharias, believes the angel. Elizabeth is having a baby. My older cousin, she couldn't have a baby. But now God is giving her a baby. By the way, Zacharias and Elizabeth were bright lights for Jehovah in a very dark world. They lived very godly lives, and yet to this point, they could not have any children. Friends, we don't earn God's favor by living good lives. And they lived good lives, but God heard their prayer. And God had a bigger picture plan in mind to send John the Baptist, relative in a way, then to Jesus to prepare the way of the Lord. And so the light of Jesus was seen before he was even born. Let's read and see how this light is very evident. Notice when she shows up in verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Notice this. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. What a tremendous experience it is, ladies. And I had the privilege to hold my hand up against Natalie's belly and feel a baby kicking. And Summer and Whitney and Kyle, what a tremendous thing. If you've ever had that opportunity, what a blessing that is. Here's a baby leaps. I've heard some women describe, yeah, they're playing soccer. He's playing soccer in there, or running a marathon, or, you know, just kicking, doing somersaults. That's kind of what was happening here, but it was something that Elizabeth was not expecting. It was something that was triggered by the fact that here comes Mary walking into the room. She speaks, the Holy Ghost fills Elizabeth, and that six-month-old preborn baby in the womb. And he starts jumping and leaping and kicking. And so our message today will call the leaping baby. Let's pause for just a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time to study this passage of Scripture. Now we pray that you would teach us your word. We thank you for this tremendous birth of John the Baptist and how all of this connects then to the miraculous birth of Jesus coming into this world. Lord, let us take this Christmas message and use it for your glory in our lives each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The light of Jesus was seen before he was even born. Now, you think about light for just a moment. Light is very revealing in nature. We have the lights on. It allows you to be able to see what's happening. It helps you to be able to understand. If I can see it, now I can understand. This is what's happening. This is what's taking place. This is what is going on. And so Jesus is the light of the world, and the light of Christmas was seen even before he was born. And you'll see that as we continue through today's message. Let's notice, first of all, how this light was seen. The light was seen in the Word of God. The very Word of God that was delivered that day was also evidence, or giving evidence, of the light of God. So notice the promise then. Mary, in verse 31, you are going to have a baby. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. How? How is that going to take place in verse 34? I'm espoused to a man, but I've never known a man. I've never been intimate, close, like a married couple would be. A spousal in the Bible was just as binding as marriage. A ceremony had been performed, but the marriage has not yet been consummated. After a marriage, a spousal ceremony would go on, it was just as binding as a marriage ceremony, but they would wait about a year generally, if you look at it throughout the Bible, about a year, they would wait before they actually come together to live as a husband and wife. During that year, the man could work the job, he could work the fields, he could put together a dowry, he could establish his household, a house, and get it ready to move in to make a home. All those things would take time, and that was that time of the espousal period. During that time, they would be faithful only to their spouse, or to their pledged spouse, if you would. And so espousal was just a very important thing. Notice the proof. Now, here's the promise. Mary will have a baby. How? I don't know a man. Well, it's going to be a miracle. The Holy Spirit's going to do something here in your body and in your life. And here's the proof of this promise, verse 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. The Lord has given a child to your cousin. Now, this was a big deal to Mary. Her much older cousin was not able to that point to have children. Now, she revered her uncle, that would be Zacharias. She had great reverence, if you would, for Elizabeth. She knew them from trips to the temple and trips to the Passover celebration each year. Mary knew about the pregnancy before she can go and visit. Now, this is really amazing because they didn't have Facebook and they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have ways to connect like that, like we're used to. So she wasn't reading or posting about it. But before she even arrived, before news even came to where she was at in Nazareth, she knew ahead of time when she got to Elizabeth's house that Elizabeth was going to be pregnant. And 6 months pregnant at that. Elizabeth had been hiding that for the 5 months previous, as we read earlier in the chapter. So sure enough, when Mary shows up 2 days later, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, is proof of the promise that Gabriel gave to Mary. Now, for Christians today, the proof of the promise of eternal life, it's the resurrection of Jesus. Aren't you glad for that? That's the proof that we can live, is that Jesus is alive and that he came out of the tomb. And we can always thank God for his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Now, when Mary arrives and sees Elizabeth, John in the belly, baby John, would be about 2.5 pounds and 15 inches long. About 6 months of pregnancy, that's about the size of the baby in there. And so when Mary shows up, this little fella starts kicking and leaping and jumping inside. There's the light of the Word of God. God's Word comes to pass. Number two, there's the light of the Spirit of God. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There's the light of the Spirit of God. There were 400 silent years before we have the pages of the New Testament. 400 years where God does not communicate to mankind, other than through the Old Testament readings that people would read. And so there was no new revelation, but now the time had come. Now Jesus was on his way. God's redemptive plan to save us, to rescue us from our sin, was being put in motion in these verses and in these chapters. And so here's the light of the Spirit of God. Notice the pregnancy in verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. So she says, how? I don't know a man. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now the Holy Spirit implanted the seed into her. There's the phrase, come upon. It's one word. It means to supervene, to arrive, to come upon. Notice the power of the Holy Ghost will overshadow thee. The word power means force, a miraculous power. It has to do with ability. This is a miracle conception. It's a miracle conception. It is a miracle pregnancy. This is a miracle delivery and a miracle birth. This is a miracle of the third person of the Trinity. It's a miracle of the Holy Spirit implanting the seed of God into the woman to have then this birth to bring about Christ. Now, notice the phrase, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The word highest means the supreme God in the heavens. Think about this, Exodus 15:11. Who is likened to thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? There's no God who's ever done anything like this. This is an absolute miracle. By the way, false gods are just that. They're false gods. They can't do anything anyway. They can't hear or respond to your prayers. But here is God inserting himself into flesh through this miracle. Folks, there's no God like the God of the Bible. And so we see that in this miraculous conception. Now, speaking with great reverence, Gabriel says that the Holy Spirit will come upon Mary. The power of the Most High will overshadow her. This is a delicate expression which eliminates any crude ideas of mating with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people make up stuff that the Bible doesn't say. Or try to sexualize things the Bible doesn't say. This was a miracle thing that takes place. The promise is made and the miracle commences. I believe it was immediate. Because the way that the passage reads, I believe that it was an immediate thing that takes place. Luke teaches that this conception of Jesus was supernatural. It does not denote sexual activity. It actually is excluding that. It just says that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her. This represents the activity of the Holy Spirit in a similar way to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to this. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so here the Spirit of God is doing something. He is giving this seed, and then the baby is going to be conceived. Now, Dr. Luke knew the human body. He knew how biology worked. God had Dr. Luke write down how this all took place so that we could understand that this conception is different than biology.
Right.
It's a lot different. It's a miracle. Now, notice how they start to praise God when the baby leaps in the womb, verse 40, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake with a loud voice and said, and some people would call this like the Song of Elizabeth. And Mary speaks later. They would say this is the Song of Mary. And it's very poetic and very beautiful. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord, you may want to underline that phrase, we'll probably like that in just a moment, should come to me. For lo, as soon as thy voice, the voice of thy salutation, sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so, remember, Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, you're going to have a baby. No, I doubt that. You know, we're up in age, up in years. Blessed is she that believed. Elizabeth said, you believe. God's done something. You came because his angel told you that I had a baby. And now he's jumping in the womb because you're here. Oh, such praising we should have at Christmas time. There's a little boy who ran back into the kitchen with a big box in his hand and breathlessly told his mother, we'd better tell Santa Claus to forget the train set I ordered. I just found one on the top shelf of Dad's closet. He was excited. He was thankful. Folks, we have a lot more to be excited for because Christ came for us. We can be saved. We can have eternal life. We all should take moments and praise God today. Well, Elizabeth praises God. Now, notice that phrase that I mentioned a moment ago in verse 43, the mother of my Lord. The phrase mother of God is nowhere in the Bible. Sometimes different religious groups use that nomer. It's a misnomer. There is no mother of God. There's no start or finish to God. He always was. There can't be any mother to God. Jesus said in Revelation 22, verse 13, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There's no start or finish with God. Listen to this. However, Jesus in human flesh started at this conception and at his birth. And Elizabeth notices this and she knows what's happening. And she says, you are the mother of my Lord. As in my master, as in the one that I am going to serve with my life. Mary, you are the mother of my Lord who's come in the flesh. The word Lord means supreme and authority. The one who is the master is a respectful title. Baby John, in the womb, he also sees the light of the world when he hears the mother of the Lord speaking to Elizabeth. Now, Jerusalem, I mentioned earlier, was about 2 days walking from Nazareth. Again, a 2-hour drive today. And think about this. If And I believe the conception was immediate because the way that this verse reads here, thy cousin, in verse 36, notice this, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived. So she already conceived, and as soon as the angel gives this announcement, I believe that's when the Holy Spirit came upon her. And so you're conceived now as well. You're conceived now. You're going to have a baby as well. And so I mentioned how far away it is. Baby Jesus would have been 2 days old in the womb when 6 months old in the womb, John was leaping for joy. Isn't that amazing? That's just incredible. That's just the details when you read through the scripture here. Now, when John the Baptist starts to jump up and down and starts to leap, it's a fulfillment of verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15, where he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. The Holy Spirit filled him there at age 6 months in the belly. By the way, any Christian who wants to be a great Christian and live a life that makes a difference, honoring the Lord, will abstain from alcohol, like John the Baptist did, and in contrast to alcohol, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
Any great Christian would want to be filled with the Spirit of God instead. The light of the Word of God. There's the light of the Spirit of God. Number three, there's the light of the presence of God. Notice verse 31. Because we're told his name. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, the name of Jesus is exactly that. It's Jesus. You'll hear us in Christianity, and as we talk, a lot of times we'll use other names, but they're not actually names. They're titles. For example, in verse 32, he is the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest. He's also the Son of David in verse 32. That has to do with his human royalty. The Son of the Highest has to do with his deity, being the Son of the Highest, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How about he's the King of Kings in verse 33? He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. He's also the Lord of Lords in verse 43, Mary is the mother of my Lord, my Master. He is the one who I will serve supremely with my life. He's also the Savior of the world. Look in verse 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. And that baby in your womb, God, my Savior. And so he's also known as the Savior of the world. We can go back to the Old Testament or New Testament statements that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Those are all titles. The name of Jesus is Jesus. And it's at that name in Philippians 2 verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, as you leave today or throughout this week, you may see some church signs along the road. Or you'll drive by a church building to have a church sign. And you've probably noticed different churches have different names, different logos, for no better use, no better word, maybe logos. And I've never seen a church logo with a nativity scene. You know, they use it year-round. I've never seen a church logo with a nativity scene, with a little stable and with a cradle. I've never seen that before. People don't do that. The logo that is mostly used in some way in a description, even in a name, or in a drawing or a rendering, there's always, almost always, we'll find a cross. We don't have our logo up on here right now, but even on our logo, there's a cross. Friends, the Super Bowl, if you would, of Christianity, or the World Series of Christianity, is not actually Christmas, but the resurrection of Christ. It's the cross. That's the biggest deal in the world, is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. That's why most churches, if they have a logo, they'll have a cross somewhere in it because of that. It's not the nativity scene. Now, I thank God that Jesus came, but don't get this lost in the busyness of the season. Jesus Christ came to die. He came for your sin. He didn't come to give you a pat on the back. He came to say, you're lost in your sin. You need to choose Jesus Christ. You need to choose what I do. I'm doing. I died on a cross. And he did. Shedding his blood and paying the price for us. So Jesus, we must have the cross in order to be saved. We must have the resurrection. And before all that took place, he had to come in human flesh. And so that's why Christmas is important. Before being exalted, Jesus was born. He lived a humble life and he suffered the cross for us and he rose from the dead and he's exalted in heaven today. Now, Mary goes on to her own home. Look in verse 56. She says some things and they speak for a little bit more. She gives her poem back to Elizabeth. And Mary abode with her about 3 months. So the last trimester, she stays with Elizabeth and returned to her own house. Now, the way that it reads in chronological order, I'm not sure why, but she leaves before baby John comes. Now, Mary is 3 months pregnant by that point. And so that's important to know. We'll pick up with this idea next week. There was a long distance between her and Joseph, about 65 miles. That's important to know because Joseph isn't the dad. He's the stepdad, if you would. And we'll pick up and look at that next. Now, 30 years later, the Gospel of John, if you would turn to it, John chapter 1. 30 years later, this guy emerges named John, and they called him the Baptist, John the Baptist. And he called out one more title for Jesus. He called out one more title for Christ. Notice chapter 1, if you would. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Someone asked you about creation, how did it happen? Jesus made it, right there, verse 3. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light of the world, friends, that's Jesus. That little baby, 30 years earlier, Elizabeth's son, that was John, who went on to become John the Baptist. The light of the world was seen before Jesus was even born. We see it in the light of the Word of God. We see it in the light of the Spirit of God. Even John in the womb could see it. Then there's the light of the presence of God when he was there, when Jesus came in within the womb of Mary. The baby started to leap. The Holy Spirit came. The presence of God was felt and sensed and known to all those involved. Well, thank God for the light of Christmas. Make sure in this Christmas season that you do everything you can to keep focused on the light of Jesus. There's a lot of distractions. People are looking to all different areas for celebration. Celebrate that. We'll celebrate about anything. A lot of people don't know why we're celebrating. It's the light that's come to this world. His name is Jesus. Let's bow together in prayer. Thank you for your good listening here today. God grant you the light in Christmas, which is faith, the warmth of Christmas, which is love, the radiance of Christmas, which is purity, the righteousness of Christmas, which is justice, the belief in Christmas, which is truth, and the all of Christmas, which is Christ. It all revolves and should revolve around him. Maybe there's a friend here today and you need salvation. You need to know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that you can go to heaven one day. And God has challenged you about that. I mentioned just a moment ago that Jesus came to live and then to die on the cross to pay for our sin. Maybe today you would like to know more about salvation. Is there anyone like that? Just raise your hand. No one's looking around. I just want to pray with you. I would like to know more how my sins can be forgiven. All right. Next question then. Christian, are you thankful for the light of Christ? This can be demonstrated in our lives and how we live for him each day. When you were saved, you received the gift of eternal life. You received Jesus, the greatest gift. Have you thought about returning thanks to God and living a dedicated life to Him and yielding your life to the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit just like John the Baptist was. Maybe God has challenged you today. Lord, I would like to live my life for You just as a way of saying, Lord, thank You for my salvation. Thank You for what You did in coming to this earth for me. Has God done that in the end of your life today? You want to make that promise to God? That's your prayer? Anyone at all? God bless you. I want to live my life for You, Lord. God bless you. Thank you. Several hands around the sanctuary today. Now, friends, when you give gifts, as you have celebrations, do not forget to help other people see the brightest light of the season. That's Jesus. Maybe this could be your prayer. Lord, help me to show others what Christmas is really about. Let Your light shine through me. Is that your prayer? Just testify. Would you raise your hand? You want to pray that way? God bless you. Good. A lot of hands again. My hand included. I want to live that way as well. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we can have an invitation. We pray that Your will be done as we respond to Your word and Your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Would you please stand as the pianist plays? We invite you to respond however God's leading you. The light of the world, let's show others that light today. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in the coming of Christ to this earth for us. We thank You for this incredible story of Zacharias and Elizabeth and baby John. And then Mary and Jesus, what amazing things You did. Lord, You're an incredible God. We thank You for the birth of Christ. And today we celebrate the light of the world, Jesus Himself coming to show us how to be saved, to provide for us the way of salvation. I pray if there's any here without Christ in their hearts, that they would choose Christ today and believe in Him and be saved. I pray for each Christian that we would be the testimonies and examples, sharing and shining Your light into the lives of those around us. Bless us during this holiday season that we're not so busy that we're distracted from the truth of Christ. I pray You bless each one now as we go from this place. Thank You for meeting with us here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A couple more announcements before we're dismissed. Thank you.